Today is Saturday, June 6th, 2015, and this...
Legalized gambling is a bad idea. You can build a casino over my dead body. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, 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 blah.
It's 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 506.
Las Vegas, Nevada! I'm just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
You're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas!
You think we get there by midnight?
Money, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. You seem awfully happy today.
I'm cheery today.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
How about you?
Yeah, I'm doing well.
Good.
All right. So, what are you drinking?
A vanilla vodka and ginger ale with some bitters.
Lovely. I'm having a Captain and Diet. Good old classic, dependable. Actually, it's Admiral Nelson's and Diet. And
no, it's Sailor Jerry.
Oh, Sailor Jerry. All right. Well,
we don't keep Admiral Nelson in the house.
I'm not opposed to the Admiral.
No, the Admiral's fine. He'll do in a pinch.
Yep.
What about the... Isn't there a General as well?
There's a General... There is a... It's something weird. It's like Captain General or General... I don't know. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Some other... Yeah.
And any of the spiced rums will do.
Yes. I'm pleased with my selection. So, we have some Vegas news as we usually do. Although last week we skipped it. There just wasn't anything. But there is this week.
Well, there were things, but we just chose not to discuss
them. Nothing exciting. Yeah, just sometimes. Some weeks I just don't, I look at the list of stuff and I'm like, this is all, who gives a shit about any of this stuff?
You don't.
This week there's things I actually care about that I want to talk about. So let's start with one of our favorite Las Vegas bars in one of our favorite Las Vegas casinos, which is reportedly closing. Book and Stage at Cosmopolitan is going to be closing soon, according to our friends at VegasTripping.com. Not a huge surprise. Because they haven't used the stage at Book and Stage for almost 2 years, I believe.
Yeah. It's been a long, long time.
The whole concept with that bar is that it was part sports book, part live performance venue. They quit using it for live entertainment a while ago. The window for sports betting is only open once in a while.
Yeah.
It's a really nice space, though, and it's located...
It's a great bar.
Yeah.
We've spent many, many good times there.
Longtime listeners of the show will know that we're very fond of that bar, even though we haven't spent a lot of time there in the most recent year or so. But given that they haven't been using the space as well as they could, it makes sense they would want to reclaim that stage space for something a little bit more useful. The idea, I guess, is that it's going to become a lounge. Which makes sense
that
again
makes sense.
Given the
seating, the configuration.
Yeah, I think it'll do well. With that sort of bar. So there's no word on a date when it will close. When it will be closed. Oh my God, I've had too much to drink already.
Whoa.
I know. It just hit me. Anyway, so here's the question for you. Book and Stage.
Me?
For you. Specifically
personally,
for you.
Okay.
You are the one here. You can answer it.
I will
answer it as well if you'd like. Book and Stage, Cosmopolitan. It's been around since Cosmo opened. We've had many good times there. We've had several listener meetups there.
Mm-hmm.
Both formal and informal, some scheduled, many not. Us sitting there.
We would just be sitting at the bar and someone come by and be like, hey, are you people who do that thing?
And we talk on here a lot about not getting too attached to anything. This is a place that we've really loved.
Yes.
How do you feel about it going away?
I'm a little sad, but I would have been sadder if it had happened a few years ago. Even a year ago or 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Because I think we started going there. When did Cosmo open? 2010. The first time I went was 2000.
No, it's not that long. 2010. It's not that long ago, is it? It's not,
I think so.
Five years ago?
2011 was the first time that I went.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy shit. I lose track of time, but I thought it was more like 3 years that it was open, but five? Okay. Yeah, I guess for me, maybe it's an aging thing, but I find that I'm like more attached to memories than I am of the physical location of things.
Yeah.
So like I'm really, I look back at all the people that we've met there and the times we've had there and the bartenders we got to know and the friends we've made, which we have. We've actually made friends at that fucking bar.
Yes.
So you would think because of that I would be really attached to the physical space, but I'm kind of not. I'm like, you know what?
I'm okay with it because it's not being used well.
Yeah.
For example, they haven't updated their cocktail menu for a while.
Uh-huh.
And they haven't used the stage. The sports book is never open. I'd like to see it, I guess, transformed into something that's successful.
A little more useful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess when stuff like this happens, I just hope that the bartenders who are there land okay.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. They'll probably end up at other places in Cosmo, hopefully. So yeah, I don't know. For me, I'm like, you know what? I've got the memories. I'm good with that. The physical location may change, but it's not like this is the only bar in Las Vegas or the only bar in Cosmo. We have plenty of other places to hang out,
and I'll
fondly remember my many good times there.
Because if that was still our main hangout, I'd be really bummed because we would put in some time there.
Oh, we'd spend a lot of time there. I would be too, but like I said, I think I'm, and maybe, I don't know, we'll find out. At some point, something is going to go away that's going to hit me again.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm in this frame of mind where I'm okay with things closing that I love and just like, okay,
it's accepting fine. The change.
Yeah, it's fine. Good memories. We've got other places. Mm-hmm. It's going to be fine. I'll hold on to the memories.
Hold on to the nights.
Exactly. Yeah. But booking stage has been great. And
it has.
Luckily, you know, Vesper, Chandelier, we've got some other good choices.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be absolutely fine at Cosmo. We're not going to go thirsty.
Right.
And we'll see. You know what? Whatever they put in there might end up being a really, really great place.
I hope so.
I have no problem. I like lounge spaces. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with it. And I'm sure we'll maybe spend some quality time there as well.
Yeah.
Unless it's super douchey. But we'll see. So there you go. No date yet on the closing, but probably not long for this world. So
if you have a trip planned, it might be worth a visit if you love that space.
Go there and have one final rejuvenator before it's gone. All right. There is a new bar that has just opened at Bally's. I think we talked about this when it was announced that it was coming. It's a tequila bar called Tequila Taqueria. It just opened. It's in this space that used to be occupied by the Bally's Tequila Bar. So it's a tequila bar replacing a tequila bar. How novel. It's open from noon to 6 a.m. daily. Kind of weird hours that it's open till 6 a.m.
Yeah, interesting.
I know, since they do have some breakfast items on their menu, so I'm kind of surprised if you're going to do that. Like, why wouldn't you just do 24 hours or, I don't know. I suspect that the hours will change and it'll end up being like noon to 3 a.m. or something. But for now, it's noon to 6 a.m. One of our listeners reported on opening night on our Facebook group, our longtime listener and supporter of the show, Hetz. Thank you, Hetz, for your report.
Thank you.
And he said he was very unimpressed with the space, but it was opening night, so he's willing to give it another shot.
Yeah.
The margarita was served in a tall cocktail glass rather than a margarita glass, which is really weird.
That's weird.
And he said it was mostly ice. Like, it was like three sips because the rest of it was ice.
Oh, that's no good. I do like my margaritas on the rocks.
I do. So
I used to like them blended, and now I prefer them on the rocks.
I'm an on the rocks gal, too.
Are you?
If you're going to get good tequila, you want to get it on the rocks.
Yes.
So,
I'm not really a blended beverages person that much anymore.
I haven't had a frozen mix, like a blended beverage in a long time, a strawberry daiquiri or a girly drink like that or something. Next time out, maybe I will
mudslide.
Relive the magic of ordering a strawberry daiquiri somewhere. Just so you can mock me.
Okay.
He said the pork carnitas were barely warm. They charged for chips and salsa. And indeed on the menu, it's like $5 for chips and salsa, which usually at a Mexican restaurant, they throw those in, you know.
Yeah.
But no, at this place, no, that's not the case. You got to pay for them.
Hopefully it's a minimal charge, but still.
So the menu looks okay. It's your typical Mexican restaurant choices. They do have a few all-day breakfast items. And they've got a couple Mexican burgers on there as well.
Didn't Hetz also post, hey, I'm going to post this on a group that's going to go out to 3,000 people. And the person he told paled a little bit.
Yeah, he said there was a lot of Caesars management swarming around there on opening night, trying to make sure everything went smoothly. So, yeah, that's good. It's good to make them grimace if you can, and telling them you're going to post it on social media, that'll do it. So thanks for that report. They do have, if you're into tequila, it might be worth stopping by. They have more than 40 tequilas.
How do you feel about this place?
Meh. I'm guessing we probably will never go there. Mm-hmm. That's just my hunch. We went to the tequila bar maybe once or twice.
We had a meetup there once.
We did have a meetup there. You're right. That was a good time.
That was fun.
I doubt that we'll spend any significant amount of time there. If I'm craving Mexican food, probably more likely to go elsewhere. But
yeah.
I don't know. Suddenly it starts to get really good reviews, I would check it out, but I don't
have high hopes, really.
No. Bally's isn't really necessarily known for like awesome restaurants. They've got some okay stuff, but nothing that's like out of this world.
A destination.
Other than the Sterling Brunch. So yeah, we'll see. If anybody has a great experience there, we'd love additional reviews. So if you try it. You know, opening night reviews, you gotta even Hett said he would probably give it another shot.
Especially around your glass.
Yeah. They're just getting their shit together, so it's not usually going to be necessarily the greatest experience. But so that's the deal at Bally's. I want to talk about something interesting going on across the street at Caesar's Palace.
I want to talk about this as well. This amuses the hell out of me, and I don't know why, but it does.
So there's a buffet at Caesar's Palace. It's been open for a while now, called the Bacchanal Buffet. It's one of the more expensive, it may be the most expensive buffet in Las Vegas.
And we went there right after it opened,
and their prices,
or maybe a few months after it opened, but it was delicious.
We had a great time.
Yeah. Have we been back? No, we liked it.
The pricing is really out of whack, though. It is significantly more expensive than even like Wynn and stuff like that. I think it's like, and it varies. They have the craziest pricing because they will change it based on the day of the week. I think of like weekends, they raise their pricing, which isn't that uncommon. Other places might have like brunch pricing.
Yeah.
But they do all kinds of crazy stuff.
And I know how you love brunch and brunch pricing.
Yeah, well. Anyway, their pricing is like, it's wacky. Mm-hmm. I think lunch is $37 and dinner is like $50 to $60.
Whoa.
I don't know. Anyway, that's not the point of this discussion. In addition to their already exorbitant charge for the meal that you're going to get, they now have some upcharge items.
The upsell
items. So if you want some additional upscale items, you can pay additional. And I don't know what the rates are. They haven't published the rates.
Or you can just haul your candy ass to a fancy restaurant and pay for that.
They have caviar and lobster. I went to. Which are two of the options. They have not published the pricing on the caviar and lobster. So if you're eating there and you decide, I must have caviar with my buffet, you can do that, but you're going to pay extra for it. But the third item is the one that really intrigues me. And they have published pricing for this on the Total Vegas blog. If you'd like, in addition to the items on the buffet, you can have delivered to your table a whole fish. For between $21 and $26. And this seems really strange. It's just such a strange item to have as an add-on item.
Lobster, I get. Caviar, I get.
Yeah, very upscale, you know.
I'd like a whole fish, please.
I'd like a whole fish. I'm really enjoying this selection of sushi and pizza and barbecue. However, I demand a whole fish be delivered to my table post-haste.
Too sweet.
It's just... Garçon... I demand a whole fish.
Le poisson, pour favor. No, not pour favor, simple play.
Your choices.
I'm mixing up my languages.
Your fish choices are Norwegian mackerel, New Zealand Thai snapper, and golden pompano. I've never even heard of a fucking pompano. I don't think they have those in the lakes of Minnesota.
No.
I never caught a pompano. I'd be confused if I caught that. I wouldn't know what to do with it. Like, do I stick my thumb in its mouth or do I grab it behind the gills? How do I get this thing off my fucking hook? I'm going to have to research the golden pompano in case one shows up.
And what kind
up.
Of lure would you use?
I would use our Rapala DT-10 because that's my favorite lure when I'm trolling for northern pike. And if there happens to be a golden pompano on my line, I would bring it home and serve it to you in its entirety as part of a buffet meal.
Please do.
You're going to have to pay an extra $26 for it, however.
I'll do what I have to do.
So if you have a burning desire for a whole fish with your buffet, Caesar's is apparently the place to go. I really, really hope someone, if
please somebody do this and take a picture.
If there's anybody at Caesar's who anybody working at Caesar's who was in on these meetings and may have happened to have recorded them on their phone, I would kill to listen to the conversations where somebody decided a whole fish would be a good option for an upsell.
Question:
yeah.
How large is said fish? Is it for one person or
no,
is it for the table?
They said it's for the table. It's supposed to be for people who it's for people who go there frequently. okay? And groups. And, it's groups of people who go there for good. So I don't know. Maybe, what if this thing's like a 45-pound fish? For $26, it's probably a pretty good deal.
I caught you a delicious bass.
I am so puzzled by this. Anyway, if anybody does the upsell fish, whole fish option, I'd like them to post a photo on the Facebook group and a report on their fish experience.
Yes.
So bizarre.
We've been going around the house saying, I would like a whole fish, please.
This meal's really good, but you know what would help? A whole fish. So strange. Alrighty. Some show news this week. Olivia Newton-John is extending her summer night's show at Flamingo. Yay for Olivia Newton-John. Her show it's weird because rather than give her just a long-term deal, and maybe she doesn't want one, I don't know. It's just been a series of short-term extensions. Most recently it was extended through September, and now there was an announcement that she's sticking around till at least January 2nd. So if you have a desire to see Olivia Newton-John, you have the chance to do so throughout 2015.
If you are a fan, I would highly recommend it.
I know. It's a great show. As you may recall, we reviewed the show after our trip in March. So you can go back into the archives and listen to that if you're interested in our thoughts on Olivia Newton-John. She fills in for Donnie and Marie when they are not performing. So she's not there all the time. In fact, like October, I think it's just the last weekend of the month. Some months it's maybe, you know, 6 or 7 dates, but she's not performing long stretches. So hopefully if you want to see her at times with one of your trips, tickets are on sale now for all of her dates. You can find out more on the Flamingo website if you are interested. If you're a fan of her, we definitely recommend it wholeheartedly. Some downtown news this week. Las Vegas Club, which, as you know, if you've been listening to the show, has deteriorated
into a shithole?
A rather sad shadow of its former self. Yes.
A shitholier shithole?
It is. It is. So that's the thing. It's a sad casino right now. So I don't know what's sadder, a sad casino in the state that Las Vegas Club is in, or a smaller version of that sad casino with half of the casino space being taken up by a CVS pharmacy.
I don't even know.
Both of them are sad. Las Vegas Club it's been rumored that it's going to be a location for a Walgreens or CVS for a while. And indeed, there is a proposal going through the city government right now. Las Vegas Club is seeking a license to sell packaged liquor, which is this whole deal with CVS kind of hinges on that. If they can't sell packaged liquor, they don't really have an interest in being there, as I understand it, because that's where they would make a lot of money. They're not making all their money off of like
nail polish. They'd make money off me.
Yeah. I don't think that's probably going to equal the amount they're making off of 12 packs of beer and bottles of Captain Morgan. So they have to get approval to sell packaged liquor. And if they do get approval, then the CVS thing will likely happen. They will turn over half of the casino will be renovated into a CVS. And then I don't know if that little gift shop in front will go away. I don't know.
I hope to God so.
It's a fucking mess.
That gift shop in front is awful.
So on Tuesday, the Planning Commission will be considering this request, and if they were to approve it, which they probably won't, I'll get to that in a second, the City Council would take up the next request, or they would take up the request next. Planning Commission looks at it. If they approve it, then the City Council looks at it. They say yes or no. The city staff is recommending to the Planning Commission that they deny the request because it falls outside of the current statutes. It's a weird deal, though, and I read through this like 3 times, and I'm not sure I completely understand it. Last year, the city council approved a statute related to a packaged alcohol sales on Fremont Street underneath the canopy. Mm-hmm. Apparently, the wording of that didn't match the intent.
Oh.
There was something related to the square footage, and then another thing related to only grocery stores and drug stores would be allowed to, but they have to be over 5,000 square feet. However, something got mixed up, so right now it says the opposite of what they intended it to say. They're going to correct this in a couple weeks, but for now the wording is fucked up. The city staff recommended that they hold off until the correction is made before submitting the application, but being Las Vegas Club and douchey, they said, we're going to do it anyway. And then there's another issue related to the amount of space within the store that they'd be using for alcohol sales compared to the overall square footage of the store. Mm-hmm. So only a certain percentage can be used for alcohol sales. And
which is where they want to make their money.
Right. But I think they're being a little shady as far as the square footage that they're reporting as part of the store. They're including like basement storeroom space in the overall square footage.
Ooh.
And that might not be quite right. So anyway, there's a little weirdness going on. As a result, it's being recommended by the staff of the city that the planning commission denies the request. It's going to come up again, even if they deny it. I think they're going to keep trying this until they figure out a way to make it work. But I don't know. There's enough places to buy packaged booze on Fremont Street, yes. And we've got enough drugstores. There's a Walgreens at the other end.
There's an ABC store.
Yeah. So I hope that somehow this gets shut down. But either way, Las Vegas Club's going to continue to just be a fucking blight.
Be a festering sore at the end of Fremont Street.
Unless the horrible people who own Plaza and Las Vegas Club bail and decide to get rid of their properties, which would be a good thing for Fremont Street, but I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon either. They will continue to be an embarrassment and a blight on Fremont Street, and that's how it is. So,
and the sad thing is, we used to have some good times there.
I know, but it just gets shittier and shittier, and like fucking burned out light bulbs, and you walk into the back where there used to be shops and stuff, and it's just this shitty shutdown. The hotel shut down. It's horrible.
Did we discuss how they get away with not having a 24-hour... Did they use Plaza as part of that?
That's not how it works, though. And they're on a separate gaming license. So, yeah, you know, I've been trying to figure out how they're able to keep their gaming license without having food around the clock.
Yeah.
Because they don't have any restaurants there anymore. Unless they have a hot dog cart 24 hours, which, and I don't know that would qualify, but that would, I don't know. I'm not sure how they're getting away with that.
Qualify as meeting the requirement or qualify as food, because I do not trust what they would bring in.
Yeah, I don't know. So I'm not sure how they're getting away with the requirement. I've inquired with a couple people who I thought might know, but they weren't sure either. And no, Plaza, the restaurants of Plaza being across the street, that wouldn't meet the requirement.
Because it's a separate license.
It's a separate license and it's not connected. And yeah, mm-hmm. So I don't exactly know how that's working. Very odd. But anyway, that's Las Vegas Club. It's just sad. It used to be a really kind of a nice, a cool property and a fun place to hang out. And now it's just, not good. One other note on Fremont Street, the Las Vegas Sun is reporting that the city is considering performance zones for street performers. And we hear a lot of complaints. Actually, I think one or two of the phone calls later on are addressing the street performers on Fremont Street. Not necessarily extremely popular with we tourists.
Mm-hmm. Although they must be making enough money.
Yeah, they are. So the city's been trying to figure out what to do with these people to make, make the flow for pedestrian traffic a little better, and to make the casino operators happy, and also to allow the performers to be there because it is their constitutional right. It's a free speech issue in a public space that they can be there. So there's a concept floating through the city. Government that would, rather than telling them where they can't be, tell them specifically where they can be. They would have 6-foot circles that are performance zones, and they would have to sign up for these spaces. And then they would rotate every hour, because apparently there are like turf battles between some of these performers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have there been throwdowns?
Apparently there have. So having these zones and having them have
they been caught on video?
Who knows? But if they have to rotate every hour, that would prevent problems with somebody thinking they have the better space and somebody else being pissed off they don't have the better space. And they would rotate through the zones. It's modeled after something that is
the nuns with the fake plastic boobs or fighting with the cowboy in the thong.
Exactly. It's a mess. Santa Monica already has something like this happening, and apparently it's working there. The city is trying to find a solution that's going to work for everybody, and they're hoping to avoid an expensive legal battle. They've already been through legal battles with the ACLU.
Aren't they involving the ACLU in
they are.
Trying to design this?
Yep, they are. So hopefully, if they could corral them into specific spaces, I think it would make everybody a little bit happier.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now they're just all up and down Fremont Street. It's a little bit much. So if they spaced them out and it wasn't so crowded and they had to sign up and maybe having, I don't know if they'll have a licensing fee or not. That wasn't mentioned in this article, but something to control it would be a good idea. Or even if, even the sign up thing, if that limited the number of them that were on the street on any given night, which I would think it would, you can only fit so many people into a 6 foot circle. I think that would help.
Yeah.
So time will tell. There's still some work to be done on this, and the city council is expected to take it up sometime later this year. So I'm sure we will report on it again if it works.
I'm hoping for improvements.
Yeah, that's fine. Let them be
it
there.
It messes up traffic flow, pedestrian traffic flow.
Yeah. I want to get where I'm going. So whatever they can do to make it better would be a good thing. At least they recognize that it's a problem. That's good.
Yep.
And are trying to do something about it. All right, so that's the news for this week. With that, let's talk about our friends at Viator.
Viator, Viator, it gives you more.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All righty.
Ooh, I'm going solo on the thank you.
I know, I decided
tonight
to let you go alone on the thank you.
You knew I'd pick it up.
I knew you would. So if you're in Las Vegas, you know, you're hanging out, you're on the Strip, you're on Fremont Street, you're in the casinos.
Yes, yes, and yes.
Maybe you decide after a while, you know what, I need to get off the ground. I'm not content to be grounded here in the world's most wonderful tourist destination. It's time to go up in the air. Viator's got you covered in many ways. Helicopter tours, hot air balloon stuff. Are they tours?
Sure.
They've got, I think, small airplane tours, too. They've got all kinds of stuff. You want to go see the Grand Canyon, they can take you there. All kinds of helicopter tours of the Grand Canyon. They're cool, too, because it's not just we're going to fly over the Grand Canyon. Some of them land in the Grand Canyon. You can have lunch. I think there's some wedding packages in the Grand Canyon. Different parts of the Grand Canyon.
Can you go on that new thing where it's like a transparent bridge and you can look down and be freaked out?
It's been open for about 7 or 8 years, so it's not really a new thing, but yes, you can.
Okay. I'm not really up on the Grand Canyon attraction so much.
Yep, the Skywalk is part of some of the packages. They've got, like I said, hot air balloon tours at sunrise, so you can watch the sunset over the mountains from a hot air balloon. That would scare the shit out of me.
Oh, my God, yes.
But some people who are braver than I am would love this.
I have a fear of hot air balloons.
Do you?
Just
is the
for
noise,
many reasons.
The noise. I mean,
how about the proximity to fire, for one?
There is that.
The heights, for two.
For me, it's just a heights thing. And being in a wicker basket, I don't trust wicker to fucking sit. I'm not going to sit on wicker furniture without standing in an actual basket. Are they made of wicker? Probably not.
I don't know. If I'm going to do heights, I need to feel secure, and that is not a way to make me feel secure.
Not for me.
But if somebody wants to do it.
More for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
No, it's cool. It's you know, floating over Las Vegas. I like the concept.
I like the idea of that.
I wish that it were in me to do that.
Same.
I wish, but it's just not. But God bless you if you can.
If you can, do it.
Yep. Top Gun and air combat experience and fighter pilot experience tours, so you can pretend you're like a badass airplane gunner. There are airplane tours of the Grand Canyon as well. And like I said, a lot of these are paired with other experiences. So if you want to do whitewater rafting, lunch on the Grand Canyon floor, all kinds of stuff
again,
like that.
Again, another thing that I'm irrationally afraid of, whitewater rafting.
Oh, well, you've done horses, though. You haven't done horses.
No.
I mean, you have ridden horses.
Yes.
Wow. Whitewater rafting, yes. I like a leisurely...
The segment's gone in a different direction.
I like a leisurely boat ride, but yeah, the whitewater thing. Again, too close to the water. I don't even want to get in a fucking canoe. But again, adventurers...
And kayaking is right out for me.
Adventurers... This shit is cool.
I could do a canoe. I like canoes. I've done that before.
I've too, but...
Well, wait. No, I mean, I liked it at the time. I don't think I'd like it now.
Canoeing?
Yeah. I'd rather be in a boat where somebody else does the...
Oh, that's
the momentum.
It's a lot of working.
It is a lot of work.
Well, if you're in a whitewater raft, you don't have to work because the waves carry you. It's exhilarating.
But they might carry you under.
No, that's not going to happen.
Has happened.
Shut up. Not on a tour from Viator.
Not on a tour from Viator.
Yes, they have all kinds of wonderful things to get your heart beating, to get you off the ground and to the Grand Canyon and elsewhere and over the Strip and all kinds of cool stuff.
And we sedentary folk will sit in our living room and talk about it and
Hey, we've got listeners who've done this stuff and they've loved it. So
that's awesome.
I know. And it's really cool. And Viator offers it all. You can check it out at Viator.com if you want some adventure with your Vegas trip. You can download their iPad, iPhone, and Android apps and book on the go as well. Seems like the kind of decision you might make when you're actually on the ground in Las Vegas going, you know what? I've had a few drinks.
Let's do this.
Let's go up in a fucking helicopter. Yes. So there you have it. Check it out, Viator.com. If you really, really, really love us, you can book through the link at 500bymidnight.com and we get bonus points and it makes Viator love us more despite
the fact that we rip on some of the stuff that they offer.
We don't rip the stuff they offer. No. We just talk about
our trepidations.
How we are afraid to do many of the things.
That's the key. We don't rip on it. It's more like, this is not for us, but if it is for you.
I'm jealous of anybody who doesn't have the irrational fears that I have.
Yeah.
I'm a freaking mess.
Oh, we are just a ball of neuroses.
Yeah. So I wish that I had the balls to go up in a helicopter and to go in a whitewater raft. And I'm comfortable in my chair not doing anything.
Mm-hmm. Except telling people, hey.
You should do it and tell us how it is so that we can live vicariously through you.
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, moving on. Facebook group discussion of the week. A June 1st post from Gareth. He was posting specifically about the effects of Las Vegas on one's appetite.
Hmm.
Not eating as much as normally when you're in Las Vegas. I don't have that problem.
I wish I had that problem, but I do not.
Yeah. I get to Las Vegas. I'm like, fuck, give me all the food. I'm here. I am a glutton.
Mm-hmm.
I would like everything. I would like all the food, all the drink, and all the gambling, please, immediately.
Part of it with the food is that when you have some beverages, you need to line your stomach to absorb said beverages.
So there's that strategy. Now, some people, they'll drink and they'll not do that and think, well, I got my daily calories through booze. I don't know. It's an interesting discussion because people are sharing their dining habits. And ours
does not work for me.
Our dining habits do change.
Mm-hmm. But there's so much good food there. Oh my God.
Food
Every time we go, I make a list like, all right, I have to have this in my face. I have to have this in my face, and I have to have this.
Food has become a more important part of the trip than I think over the years. People often ask how our trips have evolved over the years.
Yeah.
I would say there's more of an emphasis on food than there once was.
Mm-hmm.
Just because there's so many good restaurants there, and it's changed
Pizza
so much.
Pizza Rock, I'm coming for you.
Uh-oh.
Prepare your delicious pizzas.
Exactly. So anyway, you can check that out on our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/500, or just search. You can find it. I will link to it in the show notes too.
One thing I've noticed, I'm not really a dessert person in Vegas.
Nope.
Because I'm getting my blood sugar raised through other means.
Yes.
Like liquid form. Yes. So I'm not really as big on dessert as I would be at home,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, we don't do a lot. Once in a while, we'll have something, but it's not that common.
Yeah.
Bring me all the carbs, is what I say.
Mm-hmm. Give me your pancakes.
Bring me your pancakes, your huddled mass of pancakes.
Bring me your pancakes, your huddled mass of meatballs.
Yes. All right, we've got a lot.
Not together.
We got a few phone calls this week. Should we listen to some of our lovely listeners' reports on their Vegas adventures? All right, let's do that.
Hey, Tim and Michelle, it's Gary from North Carolina.
Hello, Jerry.
Live from Aria Resort and Casino. Just wanted to share some of the positive experiences we've had so far today.
Fantastic.
First of all, Todd English Pub, cannot say enough good things about it. Consistently, every time I've been there, great service.
You're one up on us.
The food is good. It's pricey, but it's always a good time and a great experience. Well worth it. I recommend it highly.
Now, I'm happy to get this response because...
Yes. Well, the first time we went, though, because we were talking about the tequila bar and how you have to forgive a few things when they're first opening. And we went to Todd English Pub in the opening week, and it was not great.
Not good. We did go back when we did the Try It Again segment, and we went back, and we sat at the bar and we had an okay experience, but
it was
the food still didn't really do much for us.
The food was fine.
Yeah.
But it wasn't overwhelming.
However, it does have a tremendous beer selection. So despite the fact that I normally don't recommend this place for dining, I do recommend it for
beer drinkers.
If you
like beer.
But he had a great experience with the service and the food. So.
And that's awesome. And I'm glad.
Yes.
New York, New York. It's kind of a, it's a hidden gem as far as I'm concerned. Everybody is always friendly there. It is what it is, but I always have a good time, and I'm always well taken care of, and the casino and the shops and the cocktail service is prompt and efficient and friendly.
Bravo.
Now for the negative.
Uh-oh.
Staying at Aria for the first time, and, well, quite frankly, it's not a five-star resort. It's not a four-star, and probably not even a three-star.
Uh-oh.
You know, if you stay at Hampton Inn, you would expect that you're not going to find pubes
oh, no.
on your floor.
Oh, no.
And this isn't just pubes on the floor. If it wasn't 110 degrees outside, I would knit a sweater with what I found on my bathroom floor.
And oh, no.
Oh, my.
When I come down to the front desk to talk about it, Wyatt, the manager, could give zero fucks.
Oh.
Sure, he gives me a $100 credit, but he basically just dismisses me and says, oh, it's unacceptable, and here's $100, and, well, you know, shut up and go back to your pube-filled room.
Oh!
So, anyhow, props to Todd English Pub. Excellent. Can't say enough good things about it. Props to New York, New York, about great service, friendly people, and makes you feel like you're in Vegas and on vacation, and, well, three thumbs down. I'm going to grow an extra arm so I can give them an extra thumbs down to Aria Resort for their pube bathroom. And Todd, Michelle, I'm going to be calling you back tomorrow,
Todd.
Hopefully with nothing but good things to say about other resorts and casinos and restaurants that we're visiting. But we're having a great time. We won't let the pube sweater hold us down.
Glad you're having a good time despite the pubes.
His follow-up call must have gone to somebody named Todd because I didn't get it. So
we had a Facebook thread.
Yes, I was going to mention that. Bellagio Penthouse.
A lot of pubes this week.
So MGM Resorts needs to do a little brush up with its housekeeping staff.
You might want to remove the short and curlies before you populate the room.
Get those people a Swiffer because there's not ample pube cleanup happening at the MGM Resorts properties. And those are the, you know, Bellagio and Aria. That's top of the line.
Those are your premier properties. You might want to make sure they're pube free.
That's no good. All right. We do appreciate the report. Glad you did have a couple good experiences amidst the pube tsunami.
New York, New York. Thoughts?
Yeah. You know,
I want to like it, but we just don't spend that much time there.
We walk
through there a lot.
Yeah. I haven't found a lot that draws me in. I don't look poorly upon New York, New York. It just hasn't grabbed me either. It's kind of just one of those places that's there. I don't think that it's horrible. I don't think that it's awesome.
It's there.
Yeah. At some point, maybe there will be something that makes me want to hang out there more, but I haven't found it yet. So what about you? Is there...
I do like Nine Fine Irishmen.
I do. I do like that a lot. We don't spend that much time there, but part of the reason is whenever I go in that place, I always end up feeling tired.
Yeah.
Because it's dark and comforting.
It's dark and cozy.
It's like a womb.
Curl up. Yes. The womb-like Nine Fine Irishmen. Yeah.
Plus Irish whiskey, which, you know, that'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. Next caller.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. This is David from Denver. My wife and I flew out last week to play in the Colossus Poker Tournament out at the Rio. So after arriving after midnight, we went to go stand in line for several hours. We ended up, the check-in process was just a freaking nightmare, and we ended up not until after 4 a.m., which was crazy. We ended up playing. I made it through the first day, which was pretty amazing, with a good stack. And then my wife, though, made it only through the, about the eighth or ninth level. So she did pretty good, too, considering there were 22,000 people and only 3,400 made it through. But I got knocked out early on the second day, just probably about 20 minutes before the money started getting paid. So had a lot of fun, and we'll definitely be doing that again. Going out to eat, though, was also happened to be my birthday on Friday the 29th. So we had a 2-for-1 coupon for You Show at the Monte Carlo, the ramen restaurant, which was really good. And they had some really interesting ramen there. Granted, people probably don't want to pay $16 and $17 for ramen, but it's worth it. and you should definitely get at least one extra egg in your ramen, if not two. One of the cool things they did was that they had these fish flakes that they kind of floated, they placed above on a skewer. And as the steam was rising from the ramen, it would just kind of wave, and it looked really weird and freaky, but it was also really super cool. Later that night, a friend of ours, also from Denver, came in, and I was dead tired, so they stayed out and ended up going to the Henry at the Cosmo, and my wife ordered some tater tot nachos, or as her friend called them, tachos, and she said those are really good. We went to DuPar's for breakfast the next day. That was pretty good, but I was really more interested in the $5 craps there at the Golden Gate. We went to Lotus of Siam, which is off the strip out east on Sahara, a really good Thai restaurant. But if you're interested in going, make reservations because the line backs up. It is absolutely crazy. So we had reservations, luckily, and they sat us right down. It was really good. I got a chef special of the crispy shrimp, which had came with the shell still on it, but separated. It's kind of hard to describe. But it was eating like potato chips when you ate just the shell. Really good. Another really good restaurant we went to was Country Kitchen on, I think, 6th and Carson downtown. And one of their special...
We're going to go with Carson Kitchen on that one.
Yeah, not... No.
Country Kitchen?
Vast difference.
Whole different deal.
Yes.
One thing that we really liked was fried chicken skin, which sounds weird, but if you like chicharrones or fried pork skins, that's really tasty.
That restaurant's awesome.
Had just lots of fun over the whole weekend. Lots of poker and breakfast craps and beer at the Cromwell, which was really good. You know, $10 craps was going Sunday night, Monday morning. And, of course, people watching there for standing in line at Dre's was always kind of amusing, too. So my wife gets to go back in another 3 weeks and play in more poker.
Nice.
And so we'll probably be making another Karma donation then because it worked out pretty well this time. Okay. Thanks a lot, and love your show. Bye.
Thank you so much for the report.
We will hear from your wife.
Yes, we'll hear more from him shortly as well, but we appreciate that report and lots of good stuff there. Mm-hmm. I really hope one of our listeners does really well sometime in the World Series of Poker. That'd
be so
much fun. All right, another gentleman who I know was out there for World Series of Poker. We heard from him last week. We'll hear from him again.
500. It's Andy from Des Moines.
Andy.
The end of day 5 for me here at the end of Monday, June 1st. And this is my last day in Vegas for this trip, so this will be a summary of everything. Let's get to what happened today first, though. Do you want the good news or the bad news?
Don't care.
I'm going to get the good news first anyway.
All right.
I ate an Earl's sandwich again. If you remember a couple of years ago, I called in a report, and it didn't impress me. I wasn't really liking it that much, but I think I'd give it another shot. You know, I'm a fair guy. I'll try it again. You know, maybe it was just a bad experience, just an isolated incident the first time. And this time was much better, and service was much quicker. I think that might have been the problem last time. The service wasn't that good. It was crowded, and it wasn't very quick.
We had a similar
thing. It worked out great, and it was right around 1 o'clock. It was in the middle of lunch hour, too, so but they were on their game this time. I had the Earl's Club, and it was a small sandwich but very satisfying, which is what my wife says. I'm just kidding. I'm not married. Anyway, see what else they eat today. Oh, I was at Planet Hollywood, you know, for a lot of the time and on the rest of the strip. I ate burger in the evening. And burger reminds me of what my Italian uncle said about New York style pizza. One slice is enough and two slices is way too many. Same thing with burger. One hamburger by itself is not enough. You're still hungry. But hamburger and fries, that's way too much. You'll go into a food coma. And that's what I did. I didn't learn my lesson from last year. just order a burger. One burger, that's it. You'll be fine. No, but the fries are universally liked, so I had to have them. They were very good again. Nothing to complain about. I had the blue cheeseburger, and it was so delicious. The meat was perfectly prepared. Blue cheese, of course, is, you know, one of my personal favorites. I'm growing to like it. I didn't like it before, but as I grow older, I'm growing to like it. And it could have used a lot less arugula, though. I think that's what's the problem with that burger, kind of leafy green that really serves no purpose.
Ooh, I love arugula.
Especially on a burger, let me tell you. All right, now the bad news. I am afraid this is probably going to be my last trip to Vegas. I once again had a tremendous losing trip. I won nothing again today.
You'll be back.
The gambling was just not kind.
You'll be back.
So seeing as how it's my last trip to Vegas and I'll never set foot inside a Vegas casino again, I have a mission for you and the rest of the 500 listeners.
You'll be back.
I need you to be my gambling proxies. That's right. You, Tim and Michelle, and the rest of the listeners of 500 My Midnight are going to gamble for me. You're going to do it anyway, obviously, when you go to Vegas. But I want to hear about it.
No.
Because I'm not going to be doing it anymore, so I want to hear about your guys' gambling. And
that's
hope you
boring.
Win much.
Reports on people's gambling is boring. It's like moderately interesting to hear like somebody say, oh, I did really well this trip, or I didn't do well. It's fine on the Facebook group where people can post pictures and stuff. But when people call up and go on extended stories about their gambling, I appreciate that. Andy,
I want to know how people did, like if they did well or not.
In
or,
general.
Hey, I hit my first royal flush, for example. That's exciting.
That's fine as a very brief mention with interesting stuff surrounding it.
Mm-hmm.
But
is that like the weather to you?
A little bit.
That's more exciting than the weather.
No, the thing is with the phone, and I've mentioned this before on like with the voicemail messages, the stuff that's helpful.
Preach it, old man Dressen.
The stuff that's helpful that can make other people's trips better.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's personal gambling experience isn't going to improve somebody else's trip.
Unless it's something like there were great dealers at this place.
That's good stuff.
That's helpful. Like, there were really friendly people. They were willing to help me out if I was new.
That's good.
That sort of thing.
Yeah. But if you want to see jackpot pictures and stuff like that, go on the Facebook group. People post that stuff all the time. It works there. It's a little different. I'm going to vocally discourage.
You're putting the kibosh on it already.
A flood of phone calls with people with their long-winded gambling reports because they're not getting on the show.
More than I did. It won't take a lot. Believe me, if you have a winning session of $10, it will do better than I will. Anyway, I'm getting ready to pack up and head home. Get out of the city. Get back to my fine Midwestern city where life is beautiful all the time.
Are you from Iowa?
Anyway, thanks for listening to my bitching and moaning over the past few days.
I understand.
I'm kidding. Iowa's lovely.
I understand your frustration, though, because there are some trips where you can't hit anything, and it's so frustrating.
I can almost guarantee that we're going to be hearing from Andy in about a year and a half going, you know what? Much like his Earl of Sandwich thing, he's going to be like, you know what? I got over it. I went back. Mm-hmm. It might not even be that long. We've all had those trips where we're like, I don't know. I might have to reel this in a little bit.
But you still have a good time.
Yeah, he'll be back.
Hopefully.
He'll be back. All right, moving along to our next caller.
Hey, 500 Sweet Fix Guru. Just calling. Back from a trip last week. Couple thoughts on a couple things. First up, SLS. Really like what they've done with that. I used to love the old Sahara and cheap gambling and playing lots of Buccaneer Gold there.
Oh, I love Buccaneer Gold.
I like what they've done with it. Unfortunately, I've never seen a casino more dead in my life. There were literally about 30 or 40 gamblers in there when we were there. I could just feel the death spiral as we walked around, which is a shame because I do like what they've done with it, but that place isn't long for the world.
That's the thing. It's such a common theme, and we shared the same thing. Great time. Yeah. Love what they've done with the place.
Yes.
It's just, it's not happening. The location. It's
best tater tots at Umami.
So delicious.
Oh.
I love that fucking outdoor beer garden they have connected to Umami. I just think it's an underappreciated gem on the strip. I think it's fantastic. But again, just not enough foot traffic through there, and it's so too out of the way, and that's something that's really hard to overcome. So that's what they're dealing with. But yeah, it seems like week after week we have these phone calls from people saying, man, I went and checked it out. I really liked it. But man, there's nobody in there. It's too bad.
It is.
The other thing we did while we were there, and I posted a video to the Facebook group, was the VIP bowling at Red Rock. My Vegas redemption for 1,000,000 points. We had a whole bunch of points between my wife and I, so decided to blow some on something since there's less and less and less all the time for my Vegas. It was actually a pretty cool, you know, experience. It's way out at Red Rock. We had a car, so it wasn't too big of a deal, but I know for a lot of people that wouldn't be the thing. But you get 3 hours of bowling. They had all sorts of logo balls and like a private suite with four lanes. So it was, you know, really pretty cool. And they played 80s music, videos, and you could request different themes if you want them. Some of the ball, I like the ball. We were like in the NFL suite, so they had a bunch of balls that had like NFL logos on them. And so it was pretty cool. I'm not a bowling snob by any means, but it was kind of a fun 3 hours and just a little bit different experience for Vegas. So that's about it. Giada was wonderful, but not much else to say there because a million other people have already said that. So hope you guys are doing great, and we'll catch you later.
Do they have a New England Patriots ball that isn't like completely round? It's just like slightly off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you for that report. Interesting experience. And yes, you did post that on the Facebook group. It was fun to see that. Something yep. different. I have almost a million My Vegas points that I have no use for, so maybe we should do that.
Same. Yeah.
All righty. Moving on to our next caller.
Hey, 500. Ben from Columbus, Ohio, calling in with a trip report. Got back yesterday after my first trip in 4 or 5 years, my fiance's first trip. We were out there for my best friend's 40th birthday. A few things I've noticed that changed in the past 4 or 5 years, or maybe just seem more drastic, is there were a lot more homeless beggar folks around the strip. And while I'm not unsympathetic to their plight, I don't want to see that when I'm on vacation. It seemed to kind of put a bad taste in my mouth for being out on the strip, actually. Something else that seemed new were the celebrity lookalikes. I know I've heard you guys mention them on the show a few times. It kind of takes something away from it as well. My fiance commented about that as well. One thing that really takes away from it is if you have a shitty Chewbacca outfit on, don't take your fucking head off to count your cash that people have given you. I mean, what little bit of a show you were putting on, you just totally ruined it. It was really crowded, more crowded than I've seen it in, you know, granted I've not been there in 5 years. I usually went through the beginning and middle of the week, and this was a weekend. I'm sure that had something to do with it, but holy shit, the number of kids that were there. I don't know if that's a growing trend. I really don't know, but it seemed like I saw more kids this time than ever before.
Time of the year might have something to do with it too.
Yeah.
Beginning
family
of summer.
Family vacation.
Yep. That'll do it.
The first night we were there, we went to Giada for dinner. All four of us, we weren't too impressed. The appetizer was good, but we thought the dinner was overpriced and overhyped, and we all kind of agreed that we would have probably enjoyed our meal at Macaroni Grill better than we did at Giada.
That's too bad.
Cromwell was a really nice do-over from Bill's and Barbary Coast. I really like the what they've done there. We didn't stay there. We stayed at the Flamingo. My best friend was staying at the Cromwell. First time I went to Vegas, I stayed at the Flamingo and haven't stayed there since. This time we had a go room. It was a nice mixture of modern and retro, which was kind of cool. But the Flamingo itself, I don't plan on ever staying here again. It was just too many dude bros for our taste.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, breakfast, we went to the Off the Strip Bistro and Bar in the Link area. It was a really good value. It was a brunch menu. Really good value. All four of us ate for like $60. That was including tip. Maybe it was 70, but it was for what we got, the amount of food we got, it was really good. Walked through the new O'Shea's, which was kind of a cool homage to the old O'Shea's and seems to be less of a shithole than the old O'Shea's. And the Link Casino was really nice. Hopefully the hotel is as nice an upgrade to what, you know, it used to be the IP. Hopefully the hotel rooms are as nice an upgrade as the casino is. And I'd kind of like to go check out the hotel there. I don't know anything about it. But seems like it'd be a nice place. After that, I took my fiance around her first trip, so we walked around to see some of the sights that she's never seen, took her to the Wynn, took her to Venetia, and all that sort of thing. The next day, we went for breakfast at Hash House A-Go-Go. I was the only one that knew about it, thanks to you guys. My best friend is a Diamond member with Caesars, so we were able to skip the over 2 hour wait it took to get a table. Ooh, wow. We still had to wait an hour for our food. But we were not disappointed with the quality of food and the definitely the portion sizes. We were kind of in awe watching people come out of the kitchen where we could see the kitchen from our table and seeing the portions walk by. We're like, are we sure we're going to eat all this? But
that's like half the thing with Hash House, just the ridiculous size of everything. It's just,
it's huge.
I mean, I think the quality is decent.
Yeah.
But I think the quantity is, that's the shtick. Like when you see the huge pile of chicken and waffles or the huge manhole-sized pancake go by,
mm-hmm.
and an hour wait is a little bit long, but sitting there watching all that stuff come out from the kitchen is somewhat fascinating.
Yeah, it's a show in itself.
Yeah. We haven't been there in a long time.
We have not.
It's all right. It's a decent option.
It was very good. Can't blame anybody for praising that place enough. Downtown, after the meal at Hash House, went downtown again, first time I've been there in a long time. I heard on the airplane from the guy sitting next to me that they've kind of done some work downtown. It did smell less like urine, but I don't remember the old guys damn near naked hanging out on Fremont Street. Not really a big fan of that, to be honest with you. Went to the D, liked the place, except I thought the music was too loud and it was a little too oomphy of a soundtrack for the casino in my place, or in my opinion. I used to love downtown. Now I'm not so sure about it because properties like the Cromwell, they're giving like $5 tables now on the Strip. Why do I want to go downtown? I don't know. It just seems like the value there, including the cost of a cab ride downtown and back, I think it's a better value for me to stay on the Strip, I think. I don't know. I need to go at night. Got to definitely take my fiance back there. We weren't there at night for her to see the Fremont Street experience, which I know is kind of a touristy thing and kind of cliche after you've seen it a time or two, but she's never seen it. So I kind of feel like I need to take her back there.
Yeah, it's all a touristy experience. Why not?
Yep.
Yep.
Walked through the Cosmo to get the secret pizza. Not sure I want to gamble with the Cosmo. It just doesn't seem like my scene, but secret pizza. I prefer the deep dish, Chicago style, stuffed crust style, not the bread with pizza toppings on it, but a stuffed crust pizza. It's New York style pizza, not my favorite thing, but it was still good. Thought it was really good value for both of us to eat there with dessert and drinks and everything for like $40.
They have dessert at Secret Pizza?
Cannolis, maybe?
We'll find out more in a second. I had no idea till this call.
We got a cannoli.
They do.
Wasn't that great? There was something in it we maybe tasted like rum or bourbon, not sure. Neither one of us are very much on hard liquors, so we still ate it, but it wasn't the greatest thing. Anyway, just wanted to call in and give my little trip report, and look forward to hearing the next podcast. Have a good one, guys.
All right, thanks, Ben.
Thank you.
Lots of information. Appreciate that.
$5 tables. I'm curious what he was playing and what the odds were, because isn't all the blackjack on the Strip pretty much 6-5 now?
Not all of it, but a lot of it is. So, I'd be curious whether or not I don't know about the Cromwell. I haven't explored that. But if you could find $5 3-2 blackjack at the Cromwell, it'd be fucking heaven.
I would be there.
So, I don't know. We will have to check that out. But I suspect it was 6-5, which the odds are not great. And
Yeah.
So, all right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. And
Giada? Mm-hmm. We've done breakfast and lunch there and had really good experiences. I think the reviews for dinner have been more mixed. I think partially because the price is
higher, you're right.
And I think people are expecting more of a value for what they're paying.
Yeah, it might be better to do it earlier. Okay, a couple more calls. Next up.
500 and a martini. This is Butler calling after a couple weeks back from Vegas. Post-Vegas was tough this time. Did not enjoy being back home, but planning a shorter trip in the fall certainly helps give me something to look forward to. A couple of potential points of interest. This was my first stay in a cosmopolitan room. I visited there a number of times, about my favorite place on the Strip, but never actually stayed there before. Y'all know how good that is. I don't have that much to add about it. The only thing through the entire property that did not work was there was a cocktail in chandelier that had, among many other ingredients, peanut butter. The verbena was fun. I'd be willing to give chandelier another shot, but the cocktail with peanut butter, no thank you.
Yeah, they use
is that like a, isn't there a Thai one with some sort of peanut?
I'm not sure.
Situation?
I'm not sure. But they use all kinds of different crazy stuff. You know, they've got
the cereal killer where they use cereal milk.
That one is delicious. They've
I
got
love that one.
They've got one with don't they one with like thin, not thin mint, like Oreo,
like
stuff on it. I don't know.
Kentucky Girl Scout.
Oh, that's the one.
Yes, where it's got the rim with the it's got like hot fudge around the rim and then cookies.
Oh, so good. So,
my God.
It doesn't surprise me.
It's like drinking a thin mint. It's great.
It doesn't surprise me they would have peanut butter in one of the drinks. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I've experienced that one yet. I'm intrigued, even though he said he didn't like it.
Yeah.
I would probably try it
anyway.
I know
I've had one with some sort of peanut flavoring. I don't know if it was actual peanut butter or if it was something.
I love I love everything they
do
there.
Oh, God, chandelier. I could just drink my way through that place.
And you have.
This is my third meal at Campobono, which seems to just get better.
Oh, love that place.
I like that a lot. And it's got me intrigued by the bringing together of Asian and Mexican foods.
It works.
Since I had a rental car for a couple of days and was in the area, we had lunch at Comex, the Korean-Mexican fusion place, and that was fun. It's even more fusion-y than Jean Pabono. I had a chimichanga with Korean accents. Kind of interesting. I liked it. But it's far from the action, so anyone who doesn't want to check out there to do it, I certainly wouldn't blame you. But if you do, I think it's worth a shot. We had a very nice dinner and a show evening at MGM Grand, including a discovery menu at L'Atelier de Joao Jean. Almost certainly a memorable evening. I think it took us about 2.5 hours from sitting down to walking out. I'd say that I'm guessing that's pretty typical for those who are interested in budgeting the time and money to try that. I'd say if the sample menus they have sound interesting to you and the reputation is tempting, I think it would certainly be a memorable meal. The only other thing I would say is about the service, not that it was bad, but there's a number of people who will ask how you're doing, and after every course, they will ask how you liked it and offer their take on what you just ate. And I thought it was fun, and I don't even particularly like talking to strangers. But I realize that for some who want more to be left in peace with their meal as much as possible, they may not enjoy that sort of thing. Also, they would not do the discovery menu for a fraction of your party. If everyone's not going to do it, then they won't make it. I'm not sure why that's necessary, but I guess there's some accommodations they'll make and some they won't. But I liked that and certainly enjoyed the spectacular Cirque du Soleil show they had there. Downtown, everything was about as I remembered it in a good way. California Noodle was new. I liked that as a Main Street Station customer. I liked that as an option. Fun fact, there was no tofu in the kitchen. We had asked about making a substitution to one of the starters, and they couldn't do it because they had no tofu in their kitchen. Just found that curious considering some of the stuff that was on their menu. But it was good just the same. I liked it. And there's a nice little burlesque Hall of Fame display in the, I think it's called the Emergency Arts Building.
Yes.
They're on your walk from the D to downtown Container Park. And
right by the beat.
It's not big. I don't want to oversell it, but it's nice. And for some of us who are sensitive to direct sunlight and excessive heat, it might make for a nice pause while you're walking that way. Otherwise, it was a very nice trip. Look forward to going back, and I hope for your sake that you get back there before I do. Thanks for podcasting.
All right. Thanks for the call. We appreciate the reports.
We went into the Burlesque Hall of Fame.
We did. It's kind of a cool little place.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's changed, because for a while, I think it left there, and then it came back.
Mm-hmm. I think it's back.
Yeah, it is. So it's right off of the Beat Cafe across from El Cortez. It's a cool little display.
It's cool. Yeah, and there's usually someone there to answer questions and stuff, and we had a lovely little chat with the woman who was there that day.
Yeah,
I would recommend it.
I would too.
Interested in learning more about that.
Absolutely. L'Atelier always gets good reviews.
Yes.
I haven't heard a bad thing about it. So costly, but quality.
Yep.
Definitely worth it if you want an upscale meal. All right.
Oh, Cina Poblano.
I know. That is a place I just continually crave in between trips. Love it. All right. Final call of the week. Let's check in with David again.
Hey, Tim and Michelle, this is Dave from Denver again. Realized I forgot to tell you about our hotel room. Stayed at the Flamingo up in one of the go rooms, which were really pretty nice. The bathrooms were all good, although the floor in the shower almost slipped on that almost and nearly died.
That's no good.
But the crazy thing was, so we had a strip view, but at night when we'd get home at like 2 or 3 in the morning, you'd still hear the music from Dre's, we assume.
Oh, yeah.
Coming over. So it might be worthwhile to get one of the ones that face over the pool and look at the link, because that would at least keep you awake in the music if you're a light sleeper or if you go to bed early. But who does that in Vegas? Thanks.
That's a recurring theme more and more often. Now the strip view is not as appealing because of the noise.
Right. And well, We stayed across from Caesar's once when Pure was still open, and I remember being able to hear the...
Yeah, so it may not even been the Cromwell. It may have been from Omnia.
Yep.
Could have been either or both of those that he was dealing with. Yeah. So, yeah.
Oonts everywhere.
Yeah, I'm getting to that point, too, where I would sacrifice the strip view in favor of something where I could sleep at night. So, there you have it. Thank you so much to everybody for calling. We do appreciate it. This week's Amazon.com listener purchase of the week is a book written by one of our listeners. It's called Letterman, A Series of False Complaints from a Serial False Complainer by a gentleman that you heard from earlier known as Sweepstakes Guru. His actual name is Chuck Cassera. He sent us a copy of this. I haven't had a chance to read the whole thing.
I started reading it. It's very funny.
Yeah. What I scanned through, I thought this is right up my alley. Mm-hmm. So it's fake complaint letters to companies and seeing how they respond to them. And it's very amusing. So check that out. We're always happy to support our listeners. And Chuck's been a longtime supporter of the show. So when he sent me this, I'm like, I absolutely have to give this a plug.
Yep.
It's $7, only $7 on the Kindle, $20 for paperback. It's available on Amazon. We'll link to it in the show notes. And we wish him luck with that venture.
Yes.
And we appreciate the copy of the book, too. As always, thank you to everybody who's been clicking through our Amazon.com link before buying stuff. It helps support the show. And if you click on it before you add stuff to your shopping cart, we get a small cut. And it makes a huge difference. So we do appreciate it. And, yeah, we love that. Some karma donation thank yous this week from our many generous listeners. Don from St. Louis with a karma donation. He's got a long weekend trip starting on June 11th, and he said he hopes that a little of the 500 luck rubs off on him.
Well, thank you, and we hope so, too.
Hope that works out. It's fun. I love on the Facebook group when people post pictures of jackpots, and they say yes. It's amusing to me because it's like they're crediting the karma donation, but it's like, yeah, it's you like, know.
Yeah.
We all know it's bullshit, but I'm glad.
But I'm glad it's working.
I'm glad. It makes me happy.
Glad they're having luck.
Yes. Sherman with a karma donation just started a new job and has been catching up on podcasts during longer commutes. He said he was at his local casino's race book and is doing well and
great.
Wanted to
awesome.
Support. Said he's got
Thank
a trip
you.
To Las Vegas planned later this year, too, which Good. Is awesome. Cameron with a karma donation. And this is for our Las Vegas drinking, dining, and gambling war chest.
Okay.
As well as a karma donation. So
All
we
right.
do appreciate that. We will put it
Thank
to good
you.
Use. John has a trip to Wynn coming up on June 7th and is looking forward to a good time and seeking a little poker luck as a bonus.
Good luck with poker.
Thanks,
Thank
John.
You.
We do appreciate it. Our old friends, Matt and Krish.
Yes.
Love those guys.
They're great.
Said that... It's kind of a dog donation. Just in case we need to replace floorboards or carpet consumed by our new family member.
Not yet.
Fortunately, he's calmed down a little bit, and I think we've got him under control. He seems to be functioning well within our household now, and
yes,
no destruction yet, but we do appreciate it, and we miss you guys.
Yeah.
Jason with a karma donation for a trip starting June 14th, and thanking Amanda and Jeff for introducing him to the podcast.
Oh, cool.
Well, Amanda and Jeff are your best friends. That's how awesome of them to introduce you to us. At some point, you'll be cursing them for doing that. But
right. Well, good
now,
luck on your trip, and thank you.
And thank you to Amanda and Jeff. We appreciate you spreading the good word about the podcast. That means a lot to us. Jamie and Nikki with a donation. Really appreciate the show. They said they only escape from the kids once a year, and the podcast keeps them going between Vegas trips.
Oh, cool.
Thank
you.
We do appreciate that. Thank you so much for the karma donation. We have a recurring donation from Ryan.
Thank you,
sir.
Thank you very much.
And finally, Andy with a donation. We
thank
do appreciate
you.
It. Thank you so much to everybody for supporting the show. It means a lot to us. And, I can't thank you enough. It's very, very awesome. As always, our website is 500bymidnight.com. You can send us Dear Tim and Michelle questions. We have not had very many Dear Tim and Michelle questions.
No.
We would like some more.
We'd like to stockpile them.
Send us Dear Tim and Michelle questions. We would love to answer them for you. 500@gmail.com is the place to send those. As always, you can find us both on Twitter. I am 500. She is Anita Martini. And, of course, our voicemail line is available to you anytime, day or night, 702-866-9494. We'd love to hear from you. Call us with your Vegas-y thoughts and reviews.
And feelings.
And dirty secrets. No? No dirty secrets?
If you want.
If somebody has a, I don't know, whatever. If somebody has a dirty Vegas story, no.
No.
Tell us whatever you want. We're always happy to
We're here.
Hear what you've got to say. As always, we do appreciate you listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. Thanks for sticking with us for so long. We do appreciate it, and we will be back very soon with yet another show. Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.